This week, the Bookshelf Cinema is screening Wrecking Crew, Clouds of Sils Maria, Persona, Fight Club, The Water Diviner, and more. On Wednesday, May 27th at 7 p.m. at Lakeside Hope House, Jeff Rubin reads from and discusses his latest work, The Carbon Bubble, What Happens to Us When It Bursts. Also on May 27th, Ray Spoon and Richard LaViolette play the E-Bar at 9:30 p.m. The Bookshelf is an independently owned cultural hub located at 41 Quebec Street in Guelph. For more information about their hours, listings, blogs, and accessibility, please visit bookshelf.ca.
Creative Control with Vish Khanna.
I don't know how readily apparent this is, but I'm a gigantic fan of the Wu-Tang Clan. It doesn't come up so much on the show, but they mean the world to me. I love them the moment I heard them enter the Wu-Tang. My goodness, 36 Chambers. That record, just immediately, I was just like, this is definitely something. And I love them, and I follow them, and I've seen them. I see them on their own. I see them when the rare opportunities arise, when the Wu-Tang Clan as a unit are together and playing. I've seen them. I love them. And so when my editor at Now Magazine, Carla Gillis, who's very kind to me, sent me an email saying, hey, do you want to go to a VIP listening party for the new Raekwon album, Fly International Luxurious Art, in Toronto? I said, what? I didn't know that was a thing still, listening parties. It seems like an old tradition in the music biz. But I said, yeah, sure, I'll go. Then I found out Ray was doing a Q&A. He was going to be there, and he was going to do a Q&A. And so I requested an interview with him, and I got some time. I didn't have a lot of time. He was doing a lot of interviews that night. But we had a really nice conversation, I thought. We got into the new album. We got into fan expectations and fickleness. You know, living up to your legacy as a veteran artist. You know, when you make something so great 20, 25 years ago, and people hold you to that standard and maybe worse, to that sound when you want to progress as an artist. We talked about that. We talked about the last Wu-Tang Clan album, A Better Tomorrow, which was not particularly well received. We get into that and maybe why. And we talk about lots of stuff. And you'll hear a brand new song from the new record. So what a treat. You know, I've spoken to members of the Wu-Tang Clan before, but this is special, and I'm glad I get to share with you. This is myself and Raekwon the Chef in Toronto last week. Enjoy.
The 32nd Annual Hillside Festival takes place July 24th, 25th, and 26th at Guelph Lake, rain or shine, featuring performances by Astral Swans, Bad Bad Not Good, Badminton Racket, Baskery, Battle of Santiago, Braids, The Brothers Landreth, Bulgarian Voices Trio, By Divine Right, Tim Chasen, Nels Klein Singers, Constantines, Nick Crane, Alex Cuba, Daka Braka, Del Bell, Daldrums, Echo Deck, Darren Edens, Eloquent, Etiquette, Nick Ferrio, Jeremy Fisher, Frazee Ford, David Francie, The Good Lovelies, Great Lake Swimmers, Ash Grunwald, Hungai, The Henrys, Suzanne Jarvie, Mo Kenny, The Cramdens, Daniel Lanois, Last X, Lee Reed, Lids, Look Vibrant, Leluc, Minotaurs, Moonface, The Once, Nancy Pants, Doug Paisley, Fred Penner, Perch Creek, Poor Man's Whiskey, Natalie Prass, The Spring Standard, Jamie Stone's Lomax Project, Sultans of String, Team, Thus Owls, Tribecistan, Riley Walker, The Weather Station, Jason Wilson and Pee Wee Ellis, and more to be announced. For more information about purchasing tickets to this accessible event, please visit hillsidefestival.ca.
Passport, please.
Hey, yo, chef, you
thank
got
you.
A minute?
Oh my God, Figaro Platinum shit on, man. Where are you traveling to today? It seems you've run out of space in your passport. There's no place to stand.
I'm a soldier. Can't catch me on Montclair jets, nigga.
Sir.
Versace shower sprinklers, nigga.
Excuse me, Mr. Chef.
Suede walls. Bally sneakers from 86.
Sir, can you hear me?
Brooks Brothers
You've
shit,
You've run
nigga.
Out of space in your passport.
Lloyd's in London, nigga. Monte Carlo. The
I'm sorry, sir. We won't be able to allow you to fly to Abu Dhabi today.
Nigga, we drink that motherfucking Dom Perignon.
It's sir.
Jeroboam, nigga.
Mr.
1907
Chef,
shipwreck. Hide sheet, nigga.
Excuse me. You don't have any more room in your passport to
Spike
stamp,
convertibles.
Sir. Excuse me. We have other people online.
Fly international luxurious art.
Did he have hands? Did he have a face? Yes. And it wasn't us.
Bernard gets gazelles on 4-5 in a bag, mask from Burdo. Sax Willie Jerry is all really. Rich niggas feed for the tea. Sniff the eighth and feed Lily. Lily is a cocaine Willie who got mad connects in a small town in Philly. Octopus toast and some rockapus. Go Southside Park vertical. Yeah, the Jakes will murder you. 400 to 500 bricks, dicks come in with no tie on. That symbolized the wire on. All Krylon heat, my rings blink 500 feet away. Hit the church steeples in the D. Brand new shells on a Python, a Fisker. A twist from the Aston's made for the listener. Or rather, you're the driver, a suicide rider. B bombs and Wileys, me and Shalaz colleagues.
We are at this VIP event for Fila, Fly International Luxurious Art. This is kind of a throwback thing. When's the last time you had a VIP listening party?
In Canada, it probably was like maybe a couple of years back. Yeah, Shaolin versus Wu-Tang time. Yeah, a couple of years back, though.
Now, there's people that will have no idea what something like this consists of. Oh, you got to sign, you got to do some autographs here?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, talk to me though. Talk to me.
So there's, can you kind of set the scene? Like, what happens at a VIP listening event party? We're going to listen to the record, that's for sure. But what else is going on? What makes it so VIP? By the way, am I important? I know you're important.
Everybody in this room is important to
okay.
me.
All right.
You know, it's just having a great time with people that, you know, represent the culture the way I do. And we celebrating a great artist and, you know, somebody that really accomplished a lot in his time of being in the game. You know, I've been in the game for almost 23 years. And to be able to still be reckoned with and still get on there and give people a great album, I think that's it deserves to be out here
Absolutely.
And be dealt with this way, though, tonight.
Absolutely.
So we having fun.
Cool. You got to sign some more stuff. That is amazing. It's a Canadian flag, and it says Raekwon. There is a Fly International Luxurious Art.
Yeah. Shout out the town, you know.
You try to get that up at the government buildings, you know? Raise it up on the poles. See what happens.
Yeah, I might have one of my fans run up there and climb up there and do that for me, though. Or climb up to the top of the pole and all that.
There's a few people that have suggested that this record marks a bit of a departure for you production-wise. You've suggested that you weren't sure if your fans or Wu-Tang fans would be into it. Can you kind of elaborate upon why that might be?
I mean, you know, one thing about us, Wu-Tang, we have some of the most critical fans in the world. And we love it. We love how our fans feel about our music and the production and everything that we do. But at the same token, some of our fans could be a little fickle too, you know, where, you know, they may want you to grow, but then they don't want you to grow. You know, my thing is, as being a chef, I always felt my job and the crew was to give you guys flavor. Flavor consists of many different flavors, not just one. So, you know, sometimes fans, you know, they might want to hear this particular style, and I might be like, yo, I gave you that style already. Huh, take this. You know, I'm still an artist. I'm still a person. So there's things that I wanna try and get into, because I feel like that's the greatest thing of being an artist. You can't just limit yourself. And sometimes, you know, people just want to hear straight Wu-Tang style, you know, karate this and, mm-hmm. and that. And, you know, and I'm for that because that's my heritage. But at the same time, I got more to give.
You guys were so successful early on. This is, by the sounds of it, this can be a burden for you to to have to live up to something you did almost 25 years ago?
I mean, nah, I don't take it like that, because I think I have proved already what I'm able to do and go hit targets the way I choose to hit them, you know?
Yeah.
I think right now I'm just being a free spirit and doing what an artist should do, which is to be creative and not just box yourself in for any particular reason.
Yeah.
You know, if you want to listen to this, if this kind of music, then you know I have selections of everything for everybody.
Yeah.
You know, when you got fans that come of all ages and all sizes and all have different personalities, they got to touch everybody.
Yeah. When you came out, like when Wu-Tang kind of came out, you were pretty close to, I imagine you were closer to some of the content you may have been rapping about at the time, struggling. I mean, you ascended, right? I mean, you were an aspiring rapper, but as you've gotten older, I mean, what inspires you to keep writing? Because as you came out, it felt like really like this, I'm learning something about this guy's life. But you are pretty far removed from some of the stuff you're rapping about.
Exactly.
Now. So you're more of a storyteller now.
Exactly. I mean, I've always been a great storyteller. I mean, that was always one of my top tier things that I love to do in rapping, is to really tell stories, though. But everything is about growth and development, you know. I think when I was talking about a lot of the stuff that I was actually around or seen or living through, I was talking that. But then when your life changes and you're not living in them certain circumstances no more, you know, you don't want to talk about it too much, because it's like, I'm not doing that no more. But then it's still entertainment.
Yeah.
So some people love you just because you talk like that.
Yeah.
So I have no problem with that. But at the same time, I think just the evolution of Raekwon coming to the game, I felt like it was a school I had to, grades I had to pass. And I had to go from the first grade to college. And now I'm in college with it.
Mm-hmm.
First grade was when I first started and what I gave you then. We always gonna love that. But at the same token, every artist should grow.
You mentioned that your fans can be fickle or stuck maybe in the past. Is nostalgia ever something that you get caught up in for your own work? I mean, we've hit a few 20-year milestones for Enter the Wu-Tang, for Cuban Links. Like, does this wrap you up? Do you get kind of immersed in that?
I mean, you know, I can't sit here and say that you can't get caught up. You know, we are who we are. We're going to make certain music that we feel is necessary according to what people know us for. But at the same token, I never allow myself to be trapped based on what everybody might assume they want to hear from me.
Mm-hmm.
I like to travel. I like to, and when I mean travel with the mind. Travel, be an MC, be an MC's MC.
Yeah.
You know, and I think that's all about exploiting your ideas. You know, any great artist is not worried about just one particular style. He wants to break molds and deal with what's going on at the time in the universe. Like if it's different time from now, and now we in a new time, I have to figure out a way to adapt.
Yeah.
I can't just be back here because you're not adapting.
Yeah.
So it's important to adapt, and that's what I think we do.
We live in a bit of an age of austerity. We live in an age where I think people are calling materialism into question. When I hear the intro of Fly International Luxurious Art, where you're reaming off brands and places and, you know, in the skit, the flight person, whatever the customs official, is just like, yo, like, you have to listen to me. You're not listening to me. Mm. Are you satirizing that materialism in some way? Do you know what I mean? Are you making
exactly.
fun of it?
No, I wasn't making fun of it. I was just daydreaming. You know, I was daydreaming. And I'm just coming through the airport, you know, and people is recognizing me, but I really don't hear anybody because I'm on my materialistic shit, you know, which is I'm feeling flashy right now. I'm feeling like, yeah, I've been in the flyer shit. I've just happened to be, because, you know, you got to think about the name of the album, Fly International Luxurious Art. It's all about being rich in the mind. So my thing was, I'm over the top today.
So it's imagination. It's not necessarily like all this stuff or I want to go to these places. I mean, it's me
putting myself on a level of the flyest out there. You know, the best of the best. You know, it's like when you get a haircut, and you know that haircut may change your personality that day. you know, just a shave or whatever the case may be. So for me to be in a fly international luxurious art mentality, it's nothing but expensive. And that's all I was doing, was just showcasing the shit that people know that I love.
Are you ever sensitive as an artist to the to this idea of being tone deaf to what's going on in the world? Meaning, like, this hip hop in particular gets accused of this, I think, of people, they only rap about money. There's only rapping about women and cars and houses and mansions. All of us are just struggling to keep jobs. All of us are struggling to pay bills. Why are these people, like, what are they, how are we supposed to relate to what you're talking about? And I'm curious, like, you've had a lot of success. Do you ever feel conflicted rapping about success, or do you still rap about struggle?
I mean, I rhyme about everything, you know? And I think that people want to see entertainment a lot of times. Whether it's, so, you know, somebody that's caught up into materialistic or somebody that's just filled with conscious music, I mean, it's for each his own. Yeah. So I think a lot of times people just want a collage, and it goes back to now what I said about expanding it.
Yeah.
You know, I got records that I feel that I made sure that wasn't about materialistic. You know, I put it on a conscious level. I even gave you a story. I took you to the streets. It's like giving you an apple, but then turning around, giving you a 9mm. You can say that Ray got that in his stash box for y'all. So, you know, I think at the time it's just all about what you may want at that time. It's like going to the movies. Every artist, he should be able to take you to the movies. That's why we call our songs movies sometimes. You know, movie became a slang word to being, giving you something dope now. That's what we say in the street. Yo, I'm about to make a movie. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, so you got to already know, all right, he said he's about to make a movie. So he's going to come with some kind of entertainment. And I think that people got to understand, it's entertainment, but you look for certain things for certain people when it's time. You know, me, I like to keep it fun. I like to brag. I like to also get serious. I like to paint stories of struggle. You know, this is what Wu-Tang always is about. We give you all elements.
Dynamic.
All dynamics. All dynamics of our whole direction on when we're on wax.
Yeah.
So, you know, a lot of artists don't know how to do that.
Yeah, no, it's true. You mentioned cinema. You mentioned movies.
Cinema, yeah. I'm definitely cinematic. Definitely.
You definitely are.
Definitely.
There is a cinematic quality to the new record. It seems to feel, it kind of runs like, it has a narrative. It could be like a film.
There you go.
Is there a connection between this record and a film in your head?
Absolutely. It always been like that. Anytime I made an album or really just try to outdo myself, I always look at it like a film, you know? You only get 15 minutes to roll, you know? And every album I always gave a theme to. Even, I'm talking about just personal albums.
Yeah.
And this one, definitely, I wanted to give you a more newer version of Raekwon. You know, where you could say, yo, he gave me this, he gave me that, and he gave me what I know him for. You know, and he mashed it all in one and made it taste good.
Do you see a movie emanating from this record? Could this record turn itself into a film?
You know what? I thought about it. I thought about not doing any videos and basically giving y'all a theme story with this. But the time wasn't right. What I really wanted to do is I wanted to make this an animation movie.
Oh, nice.
You know, but I couldn't get in touch with the people that I needed at the time to really get behind it, because my shit got to be like Adult Swim. It got to be something on that level.
Right. High level.
Yeah, something that could just be, give you a great vision of it, you know, and it just wasn't the right time at the time, so.
Okay, you know, that's not happening.
That's not going to happen.
Not going to happen, no film. Okay. Came off of making A Better Tomorrow, or it seems that way anyway. I don't know when you worked on A Better Tomorrow compared to, what's the relationship between working on this album and A Better Tomorrow for the Wu-Tang Clan?
Well, A Better Tomorrow, you know, that was an album that was kind of like put together through RZA's vision. And I wasn't always there for that because we was having our little tough times dealing with the, you know, business side of things and the schedules and all the stuff. So I kind of like came in the fourth quarter and just got in where I fit in, you know, due to the timing of it. But that was a different time for me, you know. I always felt like every Wu album should be organically made together. The album wasn't made like that. So, you know, we kind of like felt like that wasn't our best work at the end of the day.
Like, hardcore fan here. Mm-hmm. It does seem like the Wu-Tang Clan does not have its shit together. You know what I mean? Like, mm-hmm. that's the perception. Like, these guys mm-hmm. cannot get it together. Mm-hmm. And I think you're right. The power is when you work together.
Right.
And what would it... Like, I read a quote from you recently saying, like, you don't think that's going to be the last album because Wu-Tang is forever.
Mm-hmm.
What would it take to galvanize this group of people?
What it would take is definitely, you know, brothers to really come in the room and really take times out of their lives and schedules and say, you know what, if we're gonna do this, we're gonna get together this amount of days, we're gonna go out and get what we all feel collectively is the truth, is the shit, and not just look off of one man's mind frame or what he may like. Because I even sit there when I make my music, it's like, it ain't just about what I like. I gotta still turn around and be like, do you like it?
Yeah.
Or do he like it? Or do she like it? So I think once we able to get past that hysteria of egos, we can just come in the room and say, yo, we're going to do this right, and I guarantee you, you'll get a masterpiece.
Okay, all right.
I'm hoping like you, man, but you dealing with grown men who got their own ways and how they do things, and you got to remember, we gave you guys 2 decades of togetherness. You know, nothing's always going to last together. You know, even though we may try hard and do everything that we can in our power, but when it ain't built with the proper utensils and the proper measurements, it's not necessarily meaning you're going to make a great meal.
Yeah. We have to wrap this up. I want to get to a song from the new record. I want you to pick one for me if you don't mind. But before we do that, I want your thoughts on this. A study just came out that suggested hip-hop music was more revolutionary than rock and roll. These people in England, they did a study and they looked at all the charts and what was impacting people.
Right.
What do you make of that idea that, like, hip hop is now the most revolutionary, like, more than rock, the most revolutionary cultural form?
I think it's hard to say one is better than the other because both are impactful. You know, like, I know the power of rock music, I know the power of hip hop music, but I think hip hop is just more international, because even with hip hop is we still incorporate rock music in it.
That's what I was thinking.
You know what I mean? Yeah. So it's really us looking at our cousins and saying hi from a distance. But you know what? He get a chance to go to McDonald's a little bit more than me. And that's probably what hip hop is. You know what I mean? We get a little bit more recognition because it drives a younger crowd, a younger audience more than anything.
Yeah.
Like, you know, I'm not saying that there ain't 11-year-olds, 10-year-olds out there with guitars and, you know, wanting to play instruments. But when you speak rapping, that's something everybody want to do, man.
I know. And people, I feel like everybody.
That's what's going on.
Everybody talks like hip-hop culture. Everybody dresses like hip-hop culture more than anything else.
So it's hard to get away from it. And, you know, once you win it, you win it.
Okay. Ray, can you pick a song from Fly International Luxurious Art for us to hear?
Yeah, this one right here is called Reverie, the Wraith. It's a serious song. It's for the streets. This is one of them joints they want to hear. It's called Reverie.
All
check
right.
it out.
Ray, it's an absolute honor to get to talk to you, and I wish you the best of luck with everything, man. Thank
good
you.
Good journalist. Thank you.
No more wandering for me, for at last I am.
Ayo, Paul, come on, Lord. Bubble goose, smoking bubble koosh. The Uzis is navy blue, a couple coops. Satan around, stacking, sucking, say the troops. Mansions for 40 niggas, we done, we deucing. Cracking fish in the Ritz Carlton, take a piss. 69 floors up, sparking crisp. Money bags stacked in duvet sheets. Few strange freaks, follow the race. Walk through the gates, nigga. Pyrex, Cubano connection. New York Mexicans, they call us the team for smuggling wet shit. The Al Pacinos are wrapped, yup, they planned it with me. Pass the baguette, gold Louis IV, hand it to me. Raise the million champs, this is our civilians land. Furl of sweat, stay in jets, kill a billion camps. Pussy niggas get strangled fast. Still I cool on the fast, rocking the Gorilla Glass. Desert booed on, counting a million cash. This is all I ask for. Love is fan war, let's build the masses.
sitting boats, sailing scenic routes, catch the quotes. Young, armed, and dangerous, bar couple posters. I'm like known in a couple coasters. Ray and Ghost, familiar with us, racing ghosts.
I'm hearing how these niggas plotting. Madam sleeping on Egyptian cotton. Miles Davis vinyl still spinning. I've been the freaknik I've been living. You see the Bentley and we smoking in the parking lot. Contract killer, so we rarely talk a lot. The steppies in my weapon when you see me stepping. 10th grade education with a Mac 11. The definition of a renaissance. Twice a day I change watches, chains, and the charms. Tatted on my back, chest, and my palms. Then it's me and Diddy dice games at the Palms. Blew a million cash just to let the bitches watch. Take it down to the lobby, get the bitch a watch. Tinted window smoking with a screw face. Black hoodies on, bully sneakers, Wu-Tang. Barry White blaring in the white bins. Grinding like I had a curly perm back then. It's Rosé in the 40 up. Pink Bel Air in the nigga cup.
Yo. Okay, baby. Yeah.
Oh, shit.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Yo. Yo. Hey, yo. Jumping out the shower. Jarrell's on. Heat it up. Fluffy polo towels in Melbourne. Getting it. Hands is ashy. Cash keep coming. Dice hand like low pole. Young God bowling with thunder. Betting bricks up at the Nick game with Cubans from Biscayne. Burning the cash. Throw cigars with a big flame. Godfather coats and hard bottoms. Everything down the crib. The holes and gear. We got them. It's the lean team. Medellin team. Shop niggas like fresh fruit. Like old Grand Earth. Cut a green beans. We'll cut you and you and you, nigga. This is me, Ray and Rick. Box cutters on cruise, nigga.
No more wandering for me, for at last I am
free. Hey, thanks again for checking out Creative Control with Vish Khanna. You can email me about the show at creativecontrol933@gmail.com. That's creative with a K, control with a K, 933@gmail.com. You can also follow our Twitter at Vish Creative, VishKreative. And you can also like our Facebook page. A version of this show airs on CFRU in Guelph every Wednesday at noon Eastern. And you can listen to that online at cfru.ca, or if you're in the KW region at 93.3 FM in Guelph. You can also sign up for the weekly mailing list for the podcast and the show at vishkana.com, and subscribe to the podcast on iTunes. I believe that is everything I wanted to tell you. Thank you once again.